Blog Talk Radio.
Lined up on the show. First, the Joker. He owns every season of Pee Wee's Playhouse, including the special unrated collector's edition. Much like Pee Wee Herman, he likes a little extra butter on his popcorn. The owner of the Lost in the Sauce squad, Tim Savor. Tim, welcome aboard, dude.
Thanks, Rick. How you doing tonight?
I'm real good, man. I'm excited to get the band back together, so I'm awaiting for our next guest, folks. Women love him for his mind first, and then his body. At least that's what he'll tell you. Before he became famous for his fantasy football prowess, he was a before model. I'm talking about Steve Wellman. Steve is not with us at this second, but he will be here any moment, I'm sure. For the sake of time, I want to just kind of get rolling because we've got a lot to cover, Tim. We're going to hit
that
week
we do.
Two. Yeah, we're going to cover week two, and then we're going to predict week three. Why don't we launch into, I mean, week two's in the books, week three underway. Giants are beating up on the Redskins 25-6 right now, Thursday night football. So let's see. Do you have any thoughts before we dive in? This was something I was going to ask you. Do you have any general thoughts about the first 2 weeks of the season as far as through your eyes, Tim?
I mean, through my own eyes, starting off with my own team, I have just caught huge breaks in the beginning of the season with barely squeaking one out due to an error. But I think it's not on right now. But just the team lighting it up with a few key playmakers because I had a lot of misses in that second week game too. But other than that, I mean, I think things went a little differently than we predicted. I mean, to see Ipswich fall to 0-2, I believe, after we, you know, predicted them division winners against other division guys. That was a big shocker for me. Up in your division, to see it come out like it did, that was pretty much as we predicted. But it's coming out a little stronger than I thought. And it's just a real solid squad up there from you.
Thanks, man. I know that you getting through the first 2 weeks of the season without Le'Veon Bell and being 2-0 on top of that division, we talked in our prediction show when you joined me, and we talked about the white division specifically, how every year the margin of victory is so slim. And I really thought losing Bell for those first two games being division games, I thought that was really going to hamper you. But kudos to you. You got to be feeling absolutely great about coming out of that, squeaking out of that 2-0. I mean, man, those games are money.
I mean, like I said, that first week, I mean, I squeaked it out. Thanks, Steve, for getting us that backups, or thank you, Apple, for messing up his post, whatever they did.
Can I play the dumbass award for him?
Yeah. So, you know, I really squeaked that one out. I feel on paper, had he had any other guy in there, I would have lost that game. But, I mean, that's fantasy football. And then to have Ryan Shazier come off, you know, and I just had a feeling about him that week, and I pulled it and I started him, and sure enough, 42 points out of him. I mean, really just set my team off nicely that week.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to check here. He's still not with us, so I am going to pull this. I am going to do this. This is the award that Steve won the week that he, the league's first ever dumbass award.
Dumbass! You're a dumbass! Leisure suits are for dumbasses. Believe me, Jedi dumbass. The reason that bad things happen to you is because you're a dumbass.
So there you have it. The dumbass award. Steve won that by not having his backups. I mean, I felt bad for him because what a crappy way to start the year. Yeah, he had the victory, and then he got screwed again in week two. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Why don't we dive into week two? Not sure how much longer we can hold out. I'm sure he'll join us at some point. But week two, like week one, week two saw four teams score 200 points or more. High score was lost in the sauce. Your team, Tim, putting up the ninth most points in league history as they threw a 261-point burger on the board. I mean, man, that's a lot of points. That's, I mean, the most points ever in a game, to put it in perspective, was 291 by the Marauding Minotaurs in week 14 of just last year, 2014. You come within 30 points of the record in week 2 of 2015. Other 200-point teams this week were Crazy 7, 237 points, Malicious Minds, 226 points, and the Marauding Minotaurs, 209. Two teams, again, from the red with 200 points, Malicious Minds with 200, and your own team, 261. Low scores were Transpap Sixer, 172 points, and Ipswich United with 173 points. The top players for week two, the top single game players for week two, Tom Brady, 40 points. Ben Roethlisberger also had 40 points. D'Angelo Williams, 30 points. Larry Fitzgerald, 37 points. Crockett Gilmore, the tight end, I believe Gar picked him up. Very nice scoop. 25 points for the tight end of Baltimore. Steven Gostkowski, 16 points at place kicker. Chandler Jones lays up 32 points at defensive line. And you had Ryan Shazier with 42 points at linebacker. And then Tony Jefferson of Arizona with 31 points at defensive back. Also 31 points by Marcus Peters. So a lot of points put up there this year. Fitzgerald, 37. That's incredible. But Shazier, 42 points. That's just nuts, man. What did you think of that? Because you have him.
I mean, like, I had a feeling going into the game. I mean, he was practicing again. He was questionable going in. I was like, hey, I'll set a backup for him. But, you know, he played well. I seen him around I watched the week one game. He was around the ball. I mean, I knew the guy was close to turning it on, and did I expect 42 out of the guy? No, I was expecting like 14, you know, and he just lights it up, and I'm just as shocked as everyone else in the league. He did it. I mean, thank God I started him, because I mean, week one, he was on my bench, so I mean, I got really, really lucky there.
Man, I'm not sure if you forgive yourself if you leave something like that on the bench.
Oh, God,
yeah,
no.
If he had 42 points on the bench. Well, listen,
definitely
I mentioned last week, Tim, there's a breakdown spot on the website that shows the percentage of points for each owner that's broken down by position. And you can go to reports, league, and then starter points by position. And, again, we don't have a lot of data at this time, but there's some data that I find very interesting after 2 weeks of play. Crazy 7, my own team, exploded out of the gate, yet my team's currently the lowest percentage of points in the league coming from the quarterback position with only 5.4%. And I found that to be really interesting because the team's had amongst the highest points scored 2 weeks in a row, yet it's only pulling 5% from the quarterback spot. Man. And the team, believe it or not, gaining the most percentage points from their quarterback position would be none other than Steve Wellman, whose Stone Form Panthers are getting 15.3% of their overall points from Aaron Rodgers. Feel free to chime in at any point, Tim. I'll stop and let you talk. I'm just going to read through some of these other ones. At the running back position, believe it or not, lost in the sauce, your squad is getting a league low 1.5% from the running backs. You know, think your team missed Le'Veon Bell the past couple of weeks? Top at the running back position? Yep.
Just a bit.
Tops at the running back position is crazy seven. My team netting 18.8% of their overall points from running backs. You got Peterson, Lynch, and Charles. I wonder why. Wide receivers have malicious minds leading the way, scoring 28% of their overall points over 2 weeks. Malicious has put up over 200 points in each week one and week two. So 28%, that's over 50 points a week from the wide receiver position. You know, not bad at all. Low man on the wide receiver totem pole would be Klingons around Uranus. Kling sits at 6.2% total from wide receivers, thanks in large part to missing Jordy Nelson, of course. That Jordy Nelson injury, just what a killer for Gar. Tight end spot.
Still for him.
Yeah, he's in your division. What did you think about that? I mean, what do you, as his competitor, think about losing that Jordy Nelson?
I mean, as a competitor, I mean, up against the guy, I'm kind of, I don't want to say it's always unfortunate to lose a player. You know, no one wants to be that guy. But as a competitor in my own division, you know, I'm, you know, a little happy he lost him because that team was looking dangerous when he had Jordy in the lineup.
At tight end, no surprise here. The Gronk factor allows downhill from here to more than double over almost every team in the league at the tight end position. Downhill gets 15.2% of their total points from the tight end. You might want to double check whether you're even starting a tight end because you're getting 2.6% out of your tight end position. 1.5% out of your running backs and 2.6 out of your tight end position, and you're still 2-0. Man, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it, man.
I hear you. It's been a lucky start to the season, and I'm hoping now that Bell's back, I can get a little bit of stability in the lineup.
Now, at place kicker, Stone Form, and I don't know if you want to be high in this position, but Stone Form Pallies continues to lead the way at place kicker, 5.8%. Trons Pap Sixer right on their heels, just 0.1 percentage point behind at 5.7%. The next closest teams are a full percentage point behind these two. Moving over to defensive line, that has the J.J. Watt led. It's not the Watt factor leading the way, people. It's Trons Pap Sixer leading everyone at defensive line as they get 19.1% of their points from the defensive line position. On the flip side, show me your TDs. May want to double-check they're starting two defensive linemen. You get to start two because they're only getting 3.2% a week out of their defensive line spot, easily the lowest in the entire league. Once again, dominating the linebacker position would be the Marauding Minotaurs, who are scoring a whopping 43.7% of their points off the linebacker position. That's almost half of their points are coming from one position. Malicious Minds are the surprise low at linebacker. They're scoring only 17.1% of their points off the linebackers. Malicious put up 200 points 2 weeks in a row, and they did so without the luxury of their linebackers. You're probably not going to see that very often. Last but not least, the defensive back position. No-brainer. Lost in the sauce. Leading the way, 25.1% of their points coming from DBs. Total shock to me. Both, I don't know about you, Tim, but when I say this, let me know your thoughts. Tron's Pap Sixer and the Marauding Minotaurs each have statistically scored 0% of their overall points using DBs. I mean, the guy who won a title using DBs a couple years ago is 0% two games into 2015.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy just going over all that. I mean, that team, especially not using DBs right now, I mean, maybe he really thinks he's got, you know, some really strong linebackers or they got the right matchups, but him not starting them was a shock. I mean, Fontaine's Sixer not using them. He's really leaning heavy on the line position, and that's just a strategy thing. You know, I'm all for it for him. You know, and that's the nice thing about our league is, you know, you may be weak in one position, but where you're weak, you could be strong in the next with the D-flex and the O-flex. Last comment on that last little burst of statistics is Steve's place kickers. Yeah, he outbid me for every one of them, so I'm still haven't really gotten over that one.
I do actually remember that. Geez, you couldn't buy a kicker, literally. let's go ahead on with the show. Onward and upward. Next game, let's see. We're going to move on to full recaps of our Week 2 games. We're going to start in the White Division, your very own division, where downhill from here squeaked by the Stone Form Pallies by a score of 196 to 190. Bill's team was led by Carson Palmer and D'Angelo Williams, who got 30 points apiece to go along with 24 from Gronkowski. Steve's team had 28 points from Aaron Rodgers, 23 from Brandon Marshall, and 22 from Kennard, linebacker of the Giants. Bill's lineup efficiency was 76.3%. Steve's was 80.9%, so Steve had a better percentage of lineup efficiency and still lost. How did he lose it? No dumbass award this time. Good old-fashioned injury was to blame. Steve lost Eddie Lacy and got a big fat zero for the entire Packers-Seahawks game, and he also had Davante Adams miss a big chunk of that same game. Lady luck just not on Steve's side to start 2015 as two games slip away that he easily could have won. He could be sitting there 2-0 at the top of your division. Instead, he's 0-2. Lineup efficiency for Stone, again, 80.9. Downhill had 76.3. Best ball format had downhill winning 257 to 235. You want to put a bow on it, Tim?
I mean, the painful thing and the very, very painful thing for Steve in this one is that the difference between 0-2 and 2-0 comes down to 7 to 8 points. I mean, I squeezed out 1 point in my first game. Now he loses by just merely 6 points in games that go to 200-plus. I mean, that's a painful start to the season, especially when you're looking at, you know, a couple catches here and there, and he could have, or a tackle on a game, and he could have been, it could have been an entirely different outcome for him. So that just hurts.
Well, and I feel, I kind of wanted him to be on the show. I thought it would be kind of therapeutic to talk about it a little bit. And one of the cool things about fantasy football is we can all relate. We've all, if you've played the game long enough, you've been there, man. You've had the heartbreakers and started out and small missed opportunities or just injuries that cost you a game. I don't know if we've had the same experiences that Steve's going through right now, though, just especially in a division that's so close as the White. Again, back to the White. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, what's funny about that one, too, is I think if you were to go back and look at the matchups between me and Steve, where I hold the now 8-1 record, and I wish I could rub that in a little bit, but I think if you were to go and look at the history of it, I think if you were to add all the games up, there would maybe be a 20-point differential in them. I think every last one of our games has been decided by 8 points or less. It's so close in that division.
You definitely are owning his team right now. I think the only other team that has him down that hard is his brother. I don't think he's ever beaten Ipswich United, if I recall from a telecast. Oh my God, it's a good thing I'm not on TV. A radio broadcast that Andy and I put together. Yeah, he's 4-0 all time against his brother. So why don't we kick over to the other game in the White Division, which involved, where am I here? Your team, you're the guy with the giant S on your chest right now. Lost in the Sauce puts up the 9th most points in league history to take out Klingons around Uranus. Final score, 261 to 179. Massive blowout, almost 100 points. You put 5 players over 20 points in this game, Tim. Shazier, former number one overall draft pick of yours, getting 42. Roethlisberger, prize offseason trade, 40 points. Antonio Brown, 36. 27 apiece from Beckham Jr., another first-round draft pick, and Justin Houston, another trade, offseason trade from this past season. So far, you're GM of the year, Tim. I mean, your lineup efficiency rating was all pro here, 82.3%, beating out Kling's 74.3%. As if facing off against a team that puts up the top 10 most points ever isn't explanation enough as to why Klingons lost. They, on their side, they only put one player over 20 points, with Peyton Manning leading the way, 30 points overall for his team. Best Ball had your team winning a whopping 317 to 241. What can you say about your team's performance this week?
I mean, did I expect those kind of points? No. Did I expect it to be a close game? Yes. I mean, it's my division. My division is always close every game. It doesn't matter. But did I expect the blow up like that? Absolutely not. I'm ecstatic to see it happen. Klingons is just such a tough competitor every year. Always has a solid lineup. And I actually believe Peyton Manning this game was on his bench. Pretty sure he started Tannehill. But, I mean, I think there was only a 4 or 5 point differential between the two. You just got to have, faith in your lineup. Honestly, my gut won this one.
Holy crap.
See if I'm that three.
What the heck was I looking at here? I don't even know what I was looking at. I was completely wrong. He got 30 out of Ryan Tannehill. Thanks for telling me that, man. Yeah, it's not Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was on his bench with 27 points. Heck, Joe Flacco got 28 points on his bench. But yes, Ryan Tannehill of 30 points. That was a slip up on my side. Going over to the Blue Division, Malicious Minds continue to defy the critics by posting their second consecutive 200-plus point game. The Minds blew Tron's Pap Sixer away in this one, 226 to 172. Mines put 4 players at 20 points or more and another 2 at 19. Malicious, led by defensive back Marcus Peters of the Chiefs with 31 points out of a DB. Emmanuel Sanders of the Broncos with 28, and then he had Malcolm Jenkins with 21 and Jordan Matthews with 20. Tron, they had too many surprisingly bad performances, like that of Jimmy Graham, one catch for 11 yards, and Jeremy Hill benched with 2 fumbles. Just a forgettable game for Tron. Just throw it behind you and move on. They did put 2 players, Matt Ryan and Preston Brown, over 20 points. Each of those guys had 24 apiece. Tron's lineup efficiency rating was a terrible 65.2%, while Malicious nailed it at 83.1%. Best Ball had Malicious winning 272 to 264. Did you have any thoughts about Tron and Malicious Minds?
I mean, Malicious Minds has obviously proven themselves with 2 consistent starts over 200 points as a tough competitor in that division. They've clearly taken the lead so far as scoring in that division. As to whether or not that keeps up, we shall see. I mean, there's some tougher matchups this week for his guys. Tron's Pap Sixer, I mean, he's in a tough spot. He's rebuilding that team. And with that, he's got a lot of guys who, they have boom or bust potential. And it shows in his efficiency rating. So, Did anyone expect, Preston Brown to, run off for 20 points with it, sitting somewhere else? I mean, no, but it's tough for Tron right now. He's got to figure out who his playmakers are, and every season we're all doing it, but he has it on a much larger scale where he's looking across the whole roster, not just, the guys you would traditionally call your starters.
Well, I think it's with talking about Tron's team and the choices that they have to make every single week, it doesn't help when guys like Jimmy Graham, who have been just stalwarts in fantasy football, suddenly one catch for 11 yards. I mean, that's just astonishing. And now, you know, word breaking out of Seattle that Jimmy Graham, according to the website here, hates his role with the Seahawks and is just pissed off and unhappy. Man, that's just not good if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan, because it just kind of trading away a solid center like they did to get Jimmy Graham. I think they gave up a first-round pick, too, but it's not working out so far. Can only hang on and hope that it works out well.
Right, but I mean, with all the preseason, you know, news that was coming through, I mean, a lot of us didn't want to believe it. Me personally, I did not see a high ceiling for Jimmy Graham this year. And so far, we're seeing that. I mean, he's used a lot more in blocking patterns than he ever has before. And I mean, it just the type of offense that they're running, it's not looking good for him. And, you know, I think it's going to be kind of he's going to be a trick kind of thing where you think he's not going to be involved and then he is. So, I mean, I think he has true boom or bust potential just because of his talent, but I think we're going to see more bust than boom this season.
Let's move over to the other team in the blue. You're in trouble continuing their dominance over Ipswich United by a score of 184-173. With that week 2 win, you're in trouble is now 7-2 all time against Ipswich United. Andy Wellman identified you're in trouble as one of their chief rivals when I did his interview for us, and boy, was he kind of prophetic in stating that. Urin had only two players score over 20 points, Collins of New England, and he pitched in with 35, and Calvin Johnson had 26, but two was enough because Ipswich had one in James Iadigbo with 24. Urin's efficiency rating 71%, while Ipswich weighed in at 73.3%, so he beat him in starting lineup efficiency. Best ball had year in trouble winning 259-236. The mighty have fallen as Ipswich still fighting for their first win.
Ipswich, honestly, it's another situation like Steve's where, I mean, a lot of his games, you know, whether he's starting the wrong guys or what, I mean, it's just an unfortunate start to this season, and we'll see here whether or not he can turn it around as we get out of the divisional games and go cross-conference. But I don't think, I mean, it's the same thing with Steve's team. Their team's not as bad as their record shows.
Yeah, and we're going to get a chance to predict some of those week 3 games, too, so we'll be able to hear if you think he'll get off the stein. Let's move to the red division and recap the last two games of week 2. My team, Crazy 7, fortunate enough to get by Dream Team, who's always a tough out, by a final score of 237-189, the Sub Bowl. Steve just texted me. He's on the phone with Time Warner. His cable is out. Well, then call us. Don't call Time Warner. They got nothing for you. Come on, call
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell him right now to call us, and he can get in on the predictions. Anyway, back on track here. Steve's cable is out, everybody. That is now a new component of the show. Maybe that dumbass award is coming back. Well, listen, back on track. My team, fortunate enough to get by Dream Team. Cam Newton lit it up for Dream Team with 31 points, as did Julio Jones with 26. But the rest of the team disappointed. Plays like Joseph Randall, 7 points. Navarro Bowman, 4 points. How the hell do you only get 2 tackles in a game where the Steelers nearly put up 50 points? I mean, for my team, 237-189 was the final score. I put 5 players at 20 points or more, 25 from Alec Ogletree, 23 from Amari Cooper and Jelani Jenkins, 21 apiece from J.J. Watt and Bobby Wagner. Starting lineup efficiency rating was 80.9% for Crazy, 72.7% for Dream. Best ball format had Crazy winning 293-260. I want to, you know, be humble about it because it's the Sub Bowl, and Matt and I go at it every year, $5 sub card for every game. And he's always, like I said, he's always a tough out. My team's just really got to be tough to match up if you're on the other side of the field when you take on my team right now. It's not going to be like this forever, so I'm just going to enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. And you absolutely should. I mean, your team's just showing its potential right now. And you were a team to be feared last year with, I mean, everything you had, it all came back. So there's no loss of talent you had. And all you did was add key positional players to where if somebody goes down, you've got that plug-in spot. So fantastic job, you know, running the start of this team. And, I mean, it's really showing. I mean, two consistent, I mean, starts not only over 200, but over 230. I mean, it's impressive. So I'm not going to full-on predict it now, but I'm almost seeing a repeat of last year's championship game, and that almost scares the living hell out of me.
Well, I'll say a repeat. That means I'm going to be I can't win a championship game. You got nothing to worry about. Just get to the championship game against my team, and you're in. Guys, everybody, welcome the man who chose to talk to Time Warner customer service instead of us, Steve Wellman.
Hey, how's it going? Well, it's tough to look up stats and whatnot if you don't have access to your computer, but, man, some days. I'll tell you.
You better be chasing stats like 36, 20, 24, 36 if you're on the phone at this time of the night passing up the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast to talk to the Time Warner clerk.
Like, I'm chasing stats like how much DirecTV or AT&T costs because this is getting stupid.
Well, we're rolling here. We have one more game to recap, and we have 13 minutes, and then we're going to go into the predictions. We have 13 minutes left in the show. We have one more game to recap for week two. We'll revisit your game, Steve, to get your thoughts on it. Let's move over to the final match of the week that we're reviewing. The Marauding Minotaurs taking out Show Me Your TDs by a final score of 209 to 181. Despite a dreadful week from Andrew Luck, the Minotaurs still score 200-plus points, including three players scoring 20 points or more. Leaders for the Minotaurs, Larry Fitzgerald with 37 points, Chandler Jones with 32 points, and the ejected and dejected K.J. Wright of Seattle with 20 points. On the flip side, TDs underperformed at several positions and had a DNP in the game with no backups reported. Three players scored 20 points or more for TDs, including a whopping 34 points from Sean Lee, 26 from Russell Wilson, and 22 from C.J. Mosley. TDs' lineup efficiency rating was 70.4%, while the Minotaurs had a ridiculously high 86%. Hard to do much better than that, realistically. Best Ball actually had Show Me Your TDs winning this game 257 to 243. So it looks like Scott Phillips, if he'd have played his cards a little differently, might have picked up a win here. Do you have any thoughts on this one, guys? Tim, why don't you start it off?
I mean, it just goes to show, I mean, he's got an incredibly strong team, and when you run the lineup efficiency that well, you can't do much better. So with that kind of efficiency, I mean, reaching nearly 90%, he honestly deserved the win. So, I mean, even with Best Ball, I got to commend him for it. So good job on his part.
Steve, any thoughts on the Show Me Your TDs and Marauding Minotaurs match?
Yeah, basically the same thing that Tim said. I mean, you know, the one thing that will drive every owner crazy is trying to chase points around. And for the Minotaurs, I guess it's a good thing to be able to just keep a lineup in, and it pans out for you.
Steve, why don't we spend 30 seconds? You didn't get a chance to comment on your game. That ends the recap of week two, but we're going to revisit your game here. You lose the downhill from here by 6 points, 196 to 190, and your lineup efficiency, 80.9% to Bill's 76.3%. At the end of the day, Lady Luck wasn't on your side. You lost Eddie Lacy for the entire game, get a big fat zero. Devontae Adams goes out for a good chunk of the game. What's going through your mind right now? Two 0-2 in 2015, and Tim and I were talking about how you easily could be 2-0 and on top of that division.
Yeah, but that's the way the ball bounces, to use a football phrase. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? The encouraging part is to know that I'm scoring a decent amount of points, and, you know, there's still, 10 more games left to go. So just hope I can turn it around and catch these guys on the backside of the schedule.
Well, why don't we go ahead and move into the predictions? We've got a little less than 10 minutes to go, so let's fire these off. There's 6 games we're going to review. I'm going to read off the website projections, and then Steve, you'll go first, Tim go second, and then I'll go third. Based on the website projected scores, my co-host's team, the Stoneform Pallies, will be edged out in a low-scoring thriller by Klingons around Uranus by a score of 163-161. Is that how you see it going down, Steve?
Well, not at this moment. I mean, so far I've got 49 points basically coming off of just my 2 linebackers, so I got to like that.
Tim, do you have any thoughts on this one?
I mean, I agree with him. I'm pulling for Steve on this one. Bad luck aside, and the fact that the first 2 games have been decided by 7 or less points. He's got a strong start, obviously, after this Thursday night game, and his team has been averaging over 190 points the first 2 games. So I don't think the 163 is going to be accurate for him. I give this one to Steve.
And it looks like that game's over. Giants win 32-21. Feeling good and king for a day, I am. For me, on this particular game, I'm going to say that Steve wins this week. Luck has to turn around at some point, no? I mean, I was telling Tim that, you know, we've all played fantasy football for a long time, and you experience a lot of different things. You can sympathize with other teams. Everybody's had that game where they faced off against a high-scoring team. You were second highest. You faced the top-scoring team. Not many people have done what you just did, man. You just went 2 weeks in a row and just had the wins clutched out of your hands. So moving on to the next game, the other white division teams that are projected to finish here, downhill from here is supposed to lose out to Tim's Lost in the Sauce in a blowout, 204-172. What do you say about your team on this one, Tim?
I'm going to go with it. I've done this well so far without Le'Veon Bell, and now he's back. So it's back to business as usual. I really hope that I can rack up enough wins before my week 11 buys happen, because I know for a fact I'll lose that week. But congratulations to the person that wins. But, you know, I'm going to give myself this one from that one.
Steve, what do you think about this downhill versus Lost in the Sauce matchup?
Well, from what I've seen so far this year, if Lost in the Sauce only scores 204 points, that means he only started 12 guys. So I definitely give this one to Lost in the Sauce.
I'm looking at this game. If I'm in the white division, I'm doing the old help me Obi-Wan, you're my only hope, because if downhill doesn't knock Lost off and he gets out the gate 3-0 in the division, man. So I got to tell you, though, I am going to pick Lost to win this one. Bell is back from my own selfish playoff aspirations. I really wish you hadn't won the first ever Dumbass Award. I'd much rather see Tim at 1-1 right now or 0-2. Instead, he's 2-0, and I think he's heading to 3-0 after this week. Gronkowski can't score enough points to do this, not alone. On to the blue
division. Well, and I think Odell put up like 20 points tonight, so he's out of the gate already. One guy giving him 20 points, that's
20-point players are big. That's why I always mention them in these recaps. 20-point players are – that's an impact. That's an impact play. On to the blue division, where the preseason favorite Ipswich United finds themselves in a huge hole, having started 0-2 with the second-lowest points per game, an average of 170 points per game. What has happened with Ipswich? Steve?
His team is just drastically underperforming. I mean, I look back at some of these scores, and, well, first of all, I mean, Drew Brees has been nowhere, and C.J. Anderson's on the back of a milk carton. He didn't help himself any by starting Mike Evans both when he was out and when he just came back from his injury, but DeAndre Hopkins had a bad week too. I mean, it's just he's got the star power. They're just not putting up the star numbers.
The computer is predicting Ipswich to defeat Tron by a score of 162 to 147. What do you think, Tim?
I mean, I think this is Ipswich's time to turn this one around, even with the possibility of Drew Brees sitting. Honestly, I think he, you know, I mean, with trading away his other top quarterbacks and lining up behind Drew Brees, I mean, he got incredibly unlucky. I mean, who wouldn't have, you know, hitched their team to Drew Brees in a heartbeat, you know? And, you know, with the early season injury and the falter of the Saints, I mean, that really hurt him. C.J. Anderson doing so well last year and then to turn around and just fall flat badly. It's just some serious bad luck on his part. But with him going up against the rebuilding Tron's Pab Sixer, I put him up to pull this one out.
Steve, did you get to weigh in officially on who's going to win this one?
No, I didn't, but I would say, again, talent-wise, I think Ipswich definitely outclasses Tron. It's just whether or not those guys can put up the numbers, and let's just hope that those bad numbers are behind all of his players. So
I mean, for me,
I would go with Ipswich.
It's a tough matchup
because
for
you can't have 3 weeks in a row, yeah.
I mean, looking at it here, both teams have some really good matchups, which is what I tend to look at immediately if I'm predicting any game. I seriously could go either way on this one. I'm going to pick the upset, and I'm going to take Tron to pull this out. And I'm surprised that Tron hasn't chalked up a win yet this year. I think this is the week they get their W. Andy's team might have to wait one more week to get that win number one. The other match in the blue, we're running out of time, guys, so I'm going to rifle through here. Fast answers, please. The other match in the blue pits the Malicious Minds against You're in Trouble. Computer says it's going to be ridiculously close and low scoring. You're in Trouble pulling out the victory by 1 point, 159 to 158. Steve, what do you got? Tim, follow it up.
Tom Brady for the win.
Tim?
I'm with You're in Trouble on this one as well. He's had a good streak so far.
I'm going to go Malicious Minds. They're rolling 200-plus points 2 weeks in a row. Mariota putting up great numbers, which helps with that problem position that Malicious had. Last but not least, Red Division, Crazy 7, projected to defeat Show Me Your TDs, 199 to 176. Steve?
I guess you're only starting 11 players then, hey?
Tim, what do you think?
I'm going to edge this one out for Show Me Your TDs.
All right. I do think I'm going to win the game, but who the hell takes the field and doesn't think they're going to win, unless your team's really bad.
It was hoping.
The other match of the Red Pits, the Marauding Minotaurs against Dream Team. The computer says Dream will win 173 to 153. What say you, Steve?
I like Dream in this one. They got a strong lineup. There's no doubting it.
Tim?
Same thing. Dream Team has just been pretty solid so far, so one for Dream.
I want to mention this is a revenge game script here as both owners face off against their former starting quarterbacks. They traded these guys for each other in the offseason. I'm going to predict that whichever quarterback outscores the other will lead their team to victory. My hunch is that it's going to be Andrew Luck, but mark my words, if Newton outscores Luck, Dream Team's going to win. Minotaurs.
Just a quick update here. Marauding Minotaurs gets 2 points out of a starting linebacker, while Dream Team gets 15 points out of their starting tight end. Still
like I said,
prediction.
Dream Team has this one in the bag and earning interest. So that's it for predictions. Other league news, if I can get it in quick. The second ever taxi claim occurred yesterday. Crazy 7 claimed Dion Lewis of New England from Klingons Around Uranus. Much like Downhill did a week prior, Kling responded strong by promoting Lewis within hours of the claim. Kling also promoted James Starks from their taxi squad. Ipswich promoted Janikowski from their practice squad. Downhill filled their open taxi spot with Robbie Gold, place kicker. Stoneform Pally's picked up a guy named Darby from Buffalo and put him on their taxi squad. So that's going to do it for our episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. I do want to thank my co-hosts here, Tim Savor and Steve Wellman, for joining me. I'm Rick Goreski saying thanks so much again, everybody.
Thank you.
Good luck in week three. And here we're going to wrap it up with some classic quotes from Jim Mora.
We just got our totally kicked. We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. The second half, we couldn't stop the run. Every time they got the ball, they went down and got points. We got our totally kicked in the second half.